Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome this evening. We are going to begin our conversation with a number of senators and delegates. Before we do, I will remind you that the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the University of Maryland Hospital for Children, offering primary, specialty, and critical care for all children, from the smallest babies to the biggest teenagers. For more information or to learn about their specialty outpatient locations throughout the state of Maryland, the number is 1-800-492-5538. Well, Governor Martin O'Malley put out his bill today on gambling. The special session begins tomorrow. The Senate goes in on Thursday. The House goes in on Friday. I believe I have that correct. And we will begin a series of conversations every day until the session is over with people involved and with our delegates and senators and others in Annapolis. We are joined here today in studio, Delegate Sean Tarrant from Baltimore City, 40th District, who actually helped a great deal in helping us pull the show together. And Sean is in studio. Sean, welcome. Good to have you back.
Thank you.
We're joined on the phone by Senator Ed Riley, who is a Republican from Maryland's 33rd District in Anne Arundel County. Delegate Jolene Ivey from the 47th District in Prince George's County, a Democrat. Delegate Ron George, Republican from the 30th District in Anne Arundel County. And Jay Walker, Democrat from District 26 in Prince George's County, which is where the National Harbor lives, or is, I should say. I don't know if it's living and breathing, but it's there. So, folks, welcome. Good to have you all with us.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Hey, Mark, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
Hey,
so,
hey, hey, guys, Don.
So you all can join us here, 410-319-8888. And your thoughts on this gaming bill coming through. I mean, let me just very quickly say this and then we'll get a round robin of ideas about what this means for the stadium and how you all stand on it and what you would do about it. Because everybody's trying to sound like they get a little piece of the action here to make it through. But this would allow a sixth casino, if the Prince George's County voters vote yes in November on a referendum, a 3,000 slot machine casino, making it the state's third largest to be in the state. Table games, blackjack and poker at all the state gambling sites. A much larger percentage of the money going to the casino owners than was previously allowed, and that mainly because they're saying they have to buy their own machines. And it sets apart Ocean Downs and the Rocky Gap facility in Allegheny County because they're smaller and they won't have to buy their own machines, but they will also be bringing more money in themselves. The casino owners would. And the state would not set a number of table games allowed. That would be up to the places themselves, but the revenues from table games would be taxed at 20%, not the 57 or 50% that other games would be taxed. And there'd be a donation ban, a prohibition of contributions by gambling interests and certain casino executives to state and local political campaigns, though people say the federal laws would make that kind of donation ban almost meaningless. And disclosure provision in that increasing disclosure of donations to political committees that want to spend money to support or oppose the anticipated referendum this fall, and a bunch of other smaller things like changing the name of the State Lottery Commission and like that. And no internet gaming is the other. So let's kind of talk a bit about this. And let me start, if I might, with Delegate Jay Walker. This is in your district, this National Harbor, which is where this all kind of erupted. Give us your perspective on this bill and where you stand.
Well, it's something where I've had, you know, there's been a changing dynamic within the citizens here of the 26th District. And I do want to start off by saying it's not just National Harbor specific. The language that was proposed, I think, is the right thing to do. That would also include Rosecross, so they would have an opportunity to bid as well. I think that it's something where when I first, you know, got in office, there was a big consensus where a lot of people were nervous about bringing slots to Prince George's County. But as the years have gone on, there's been a changing dynamic where I've got citizens now asking what's taking so long for us to get an opportunity to have gaming down here in the southern part of Prince George's County. I mean, you know, it's inconvenient for them to have to continue to take bus tours to Delaware or to West Virginia and even up to Arundel Mills when this is something that we can keep the money here within Prince George's County and provide not only gaming but also provide entertainment and shopping services to people here and help build the business tax base in Prince George's County. So for reasons like that, who am I to stand in the way and say, hey, let's let the people decide by a vote whether or not they want to allow gaming to come into southern Prince George's County. And I think that's the right thing to do.
Let me turn now to Senator Ed Riley, our sole senator on the show today and from 33rd District in Anne Arundel County. And you, Ed, if I have it correctly, I mean, you disagreed with the special session in the beginning, but it was your body that kind of got this bill in the first place that couldn't get through at the last second,
yeah,
correct?
You're absolutely right. The
Senate as a body passed the bill, went over to the House of Delegates and got stalled. But, Mark, an interesting thing happened this week, and that is that the numbers came out for Perryville in Cecil County that represented a 40% reduction in their revenue because Maryland Live has come online and is doing very well. This is the example that we're really concerned about because Maryland Live will be bookended, one by Baltimore City and second by the proposed Prince George's County site, and it will have a significant unintended adverse impact on an investment that these casino operators have made. They played by the rules. They put in half a billion dollar facility, and now we're going to cut the revenue out from underneath them. It's not a fair way to do business. It's a bad reflection on the entire state of Maryland.
Let me come back to Baltimore and turn to Delegate Sean Tarrant and where you stand on this, and then we'll go to Julian Ivey and over to Ron George. Then we'll just jump into it all.
Thank you, Mark. Well, when you look at Baltimore City, it's taken us a long time to get up and running. To find somebody that had the money that wanted to actually operate a facility in Baltimore, we would like to have a facility. However, I'm not so sure if we want to have a facility that has handcuffs attached to it, because in order for us to get table games that would allow for Caesars to put in a world-class facility, they need to have table games. However, it's almost as if you don't agree to a six site in Prince George's County, nobody gets table games. So when you get table games, that's going to mean that you're going to have also a six site in Prince George's County, and they will siphon off some business from Baltimore City. Not just casino business, but also business that we have in our current tourism, because we have a convention center, and Prince George's County also has a convention center. So it's not just casino gambling. And so a lot of people in Baltimore City are trying to figure out a way, how do we remain harmless in this process as far as being held harmless, where we have a realistic chance of being profitable and having a great facility in Caesars and having table games, but also knowing that Prince George's County will have a world-class facility as well. That's what we're mostly concerned with, is Prince George's County's facility. We'd love to have table games without the sixth site, but that's not the way it's working down in Annapolis these days.
Does that mean
you're
leaning towards...
That's politics, Sean, isn't it? This is Jolene.
Jolene Ivey, go ahead.
And, you know, I think what we all need to remember is any decision we make is for the betterment of the state. It's not for each individual jurisdiction. And I think the general agreement is a proposed site at National Harbor is really going to be the crown jewel in the state of Maryland when it comes to table games and slot machines. So in order to have a casino that not only is a beautiful facility, but one that will be a benefit to the state, to have one right on the edge of money-rich Virginia and Washington, D.C., where their people, their tourists, their residents, will also come spend money in Maryland. Prince George's County, of course, is in Maryland. So that increases the money for the state and for education, for all the things we all think are so important. So while it's really important that jurisdiction benefit, especially the ones that are hosting one of these facilities.
So, let me turn to Ron George, Republican from Anne Arundel County, who is also, his District 30 is also Mike Bush's district, if I'm correct. Your seatmate.
That's yep. Cool.
So, Ron George, talk about your perspective. Both, your party as a whole has been opposed to this, and also as an Anne Arundel delegate.
Yeah, I mean, the party as a whole has been saying we need to take care of our structural problems, and this does not do it, the raising taxes and the gaming. We're more interested in trying to expand our tax base, the small businesses and people who pay taxes, and try to attract them here so we can have the revenue we need for other things. My feelings are very much in line, I think, with most of the Anne Arundel County delegates, is that we were very concerned when the first bill was worked on, in 2007, there was a plan put forward, a feasibility study, that showed that if there was a site within 2 miles of 295, and most people were thinking that would be Laurel Raceway or someplace. Its main draw area would be Northern Virginia and the Washington area,
right,
because it's so close to Baltimore. So we tell them this is it. We tell them we're keeping it to 5 sites. And then before they're all up and running, we're changing the game plan. And they just finished building a mega casino, the biggest in the United States there. And it's going to have a direct effect on them. And I think Senator Riley is absolutely correct on the effect it'll have. Every time a new one opens, the ones around it lose 30 to 40%. And that's Baltimore City is going to affect Anne Arundel. But at the same time, I think they'll settle down. They'll both have their area they draw from. But then Anne Arundel's going to be caught between Baltimore City and National Harbor, and I think it's going to be devastating for it. So I think it hurts very much the county. I think we're going back on our promises that we made. You know, I wouldn't say, here's a nice piece of property. You can build a home with a beautiful view of the water, and then as soon as you're moving in, I'm going to build another building in front of it. I mean, it doesn't bode well to attract new businesses here when the state keeps changing the game plan.
If I may say this, Delegate George, I think that when we talk about Perryville losing 40% of its revenues being down, I wonder if part of that due to the type of casino that is in Perryville. I've had the opportunity to visit that Slots Parlor, and it's very, very basic. I mean, it's just a big barn with some slot machines. They've got a wall of a soda machine with cups. I mean, it really is very parochial in comparison to Maryland Live. Maryland Live is something out of Atlantic City or Vegas. So if you bring in a casino that's comparable to Prince George's, to Maryland Live in Prince George's County and Baltimore City, then I think that you're going to get even – it's going to grow the pie rather than take away because it's worth going to.
Well, I have a question for you. I heard Jay trying to get in. You wanted to say something quick, Ron? I want to go back to Jay.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it, Mark. You know, I just wanted to say, first and foremost, I think Delegate Ivey kind of said it very well. This is about capturing revenue for the state of Maryland. It's not about necessarily making the owners richer. It's about how do we help increase money coming into the state of Maryland. You've got a market that's in Richmond, Virginia. They are not going to Anne Arundel County to go gaming. But you can possibly capture that revenue if you've got something on the Virginia border. I understand they've got concerns about possibly losing some money out. But look at Perryville, as we talked about. They're losing money right now. And I think the reason they're losing is when you have a new casino, there's a little fascination with it right now. So people want to go check out the newest thing. But at the same time, they will start to go back to Perryville. I do believe that. And then one other point I would also like to point out, you know, we're not taking the fact is the study was done that the National Harbor or Rosecroft location would be the number one location in the state of Maryland. So if you're talking about capturing revenue, how can you sit there and say we're doing a good job as a legislative body if we're not even going to look at the number one source, which every study has shown and which you hear the fear from Baltimore and you hear from these other delegations. Well, if this is going to be number one, normally that's good. If we talk about we can bring in one of the best companies to come into the state of Maryland and they say this location is best, I'm pretty sure everybody would say, oh, this is going to be good. It's going to help increase the business tax dollars that we bring into the general fund, and they would be all for it. But I think the matter has gotten cloudy in which everybody's trying to say, well, you're going to do this to me, you're going to do that to me. What's best for the state of Maryland? We're not talking about Virginia opening up a complex and taking money out of Anne Arundel County or Delaware opening up another one right on the border. We're saying this is going to be in Maryland, Maryland dollars. Our citizens are asking for this. They're currently utilizing other facilities outside of the state of Maryland. So what do we do to capture that revenue? Last time I checked, Charlestown races and slots in West Virginia was still the number one casino in the United States of America. So what are we going to do to combat that?
Well, let me ask this question of all of you here. I mean, there's a lot of issues here, and it seems to see if I can parse through some of them, at least as many as we can get to in the course of the time we have together and get to our phones. Keith in Parkville, you're the first caller up. Just bear with me here. I'm going to get to your call, 410-319-8888. But, okay, the common wisdom would be that there's only X amount of dollars that are going to be spent by anybody in gambling. You can see what's happening in Nevada and New Jersey, which have had gambling for a long time. And gambling has opened up in Pennsylvania. It's opening up in New York. It's opened up in Connecticut. It's opening up all over. So both those old places are now losing revenue because people are going other places. Right. So if we have six casinos in Maryland, I mean, some of those casinos have to lose out in terms of the dollars attracted to those casinos. The state of Maryland may not lose out.
And Mark, if I may, it's Ron George. I think that Jay's a great speaker, and he really thinks things out, and he's a good guy. But, you know, I have to tell you that, yeah, maybe not all the way down to Richmond that many people, but the area that they draw from, Baltimore's going to have their own. Once they're up and running, I don't think that Maryland Live is going to get as much from up north. They were already getting over 50% going down to North Virginia. They were already doing that. So it will eat into it quite a lot. And, you know, I think we need to answer the question. Are we going to invite people to do this and then basically take the revenue out from under them?
Right.
I'm not talking about
Ron,
I'm not talking about lots of owners.
One at a time. Who's trying to say things? The two voices were who?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's very hard for me to hear anyone else except you. So I apologize. I'll let someone else go. But
is this Ed Riley?
Yes, Mark, I'm here.
Yeah.
The other factor that Jay hasn't taken into consideration is the impact on local aid. We have anticipated in Anne Arundel County that we would receive a certain percentage of the gross revenue from the facility,
right,
and that we have built that into our operating budget for police, fire, schools, water, sewer, all of our operating expenses. There is a real concern that if Arundel, Maryland Live loses 40% of the revenue, that Anne Arundel County is going to take a huge hit on money that we have been committed to, money that we have allocated in our normal budgeting process. And again, to Delegate Walker, who I really respect and look up to, the issue is also how good are our promises. In 2007, we set the ground rules, and we should live by them. And this, if we went forward with this bill, it will be the only time in our nation's history where a state has changed the rules and added additional locations before all of the authorized locations are up, running, and have documented revenue. Mark, a lot of what's happening is based on assumptions, and these assumptions have not fulfilled themselves. We need to wait till all five facilities are up, running, and we have a documented history of how they're operating before we add more locations to the mix.
Let me just jump in here for a second. This is Mark Steiner, so I can get Jolene's voice back in and as well to this. But let me ask this question. I mean, if the Prince George's County facility comes online, which they're saying will be in 2016, not till 2016, it gives Anne Arundel County and Cordish a lot of time to kind of build popularity for their place. That A, but B, since Baltimore is a tourist destination, becoming one in this country, always touted by the New York Times and other places, and has a casino run by Caesars, and then the other one may be in Prince George's County. I mean, is there any doubt in anybody's mind that those two casinos will end up taking the lion's share of business after a while, just because of the fact, Jolie and Ivy, of their location?
I don't think that that's going to prohibit a Prince George's facility from being successful, because it's right on the border of Virginia and D.C. So I think that those two facilities will continue to do well or not do well, depending on how they're doing. But I don't think that we can make a decision and say, back in 2007, we passed a bill and assumed that meant that forever and ever we will never amend it, because that's not how politics works, and that's not how we run our state. We had a way when we passed that bill in 2007 of how to amend it and how to change things, and we're doing that now. So we actually are following our standard laws and procedures the way we do things. And, you know, if in the end any of the facilities don't do as well as expected, well, that's kind of how business goes. And I don't think that there can be any guarantee for anyone that anything is going to make an exact amount of money. I mean, it's always a gamble. Ha-ha.
Mark, there's a factual Mark, there's a factual piece of information you need to put into your...
This is Ron George, correct? Yes.
No, Senator Riley.
Senator Riley, I'm sorry.
The issue also is the proposed law would allow that site... site in Prince George's County to establish a temporary facility on short notice that would be up and running in a very short period of time. It doesn't mean there would be no gambling in the Prince George's County site, but rather it would be limited on a temporary facility. There's also no guarantee that there'd be a new facility built. The law is silent on whether or not there would actually be an $800 million construction project. The law in 2007 did call for infrastructure investment in the areas where the facilities were being built based on the number of machines. Well, that could be done through road and infrastructure in Prince George's County. They could actually put the machines right in the Gaylord Hotel.
And that's a very good point, Senator Raleigh. If Prince George's County were able to set up shop without building a casino, then the whole argument about creating all these new jobs would be a farce because it wouldn't actually happen. So this is one thing I kind of have to agree with you, Senator Raleigh, about. But I am concerned that they're pushing for something that they might not do, because if you've been to the Gaylord Hotel, and I was there with you, Delegate Walker and Delegate George and also Delegate Ivy, on our freshman tour and even afterwards, that's
Gaylord Hotel is
an amazing facility at National Harbor.
National Harbor,
and
right.
So they already have the electrical outlet set up a certain spaces apart to put in the VLTs, and
I'm
so
sure
they could get up and running within, from what I understand, in a matter of weeks. You guys could pull together a card game.
Delegate Walker, you could pull together a
game of Pink Knuckle in a matter of about a week or something like that.
I need to cut in on something, because there's been a couple misconceptions. All right, first and foremost, let me guess that last one the delegates just said. The Gaylord Hotel is being run and operated by Marriott Hotel. Marriott does not allow gaming in any of their locations across the United States of America. So it's not going there point blank. That's never been it. Two, when you talked about Senator Riley, my good friend and colleague there, talked about the revenue. Anne Arundel County is making good revenue. And when you say 50% of that business comes from south of Anne Arundel County, I don't see Anne Arundel County spending money in Prince George's County. That's part of the reason why our constituents are saying, why can't we keep that money home? Mm-hmm. And so I understand there's a local impact grant there. That's true. We've got more people in Prince George's County. We've been supporting that location there, and there's nothing to show for it in Prince George's County, which I think that's why individuals are saying, why can't we have this location here? It would be fabulous. And then the last point I'll say is, when we passed legislation in 2007, I heard my colleague from Prince George's allude to this, regarding the gaming bill. It was never set in stone. It's a working document, right? Just like we're talking about the tax rate, when people have a problem with the tax rate, we always knew we were coming in high. It was never set in stone that we were going to keep that tax rate. It was never set in stone that we would never expand the table game. If you guys are using that premise of, well, this deal's a deal, we can't do it, modify it, well, then everybody, including Baltimore City, all you would have is just a slots component, and there would be nothing else outside of it. And we know that's not good for the state of Maryland, because our surrounding state have full-scale casinos, and they're continuing to get revenue. And the last point is, Pennsylvania expanded gaming before they gave out all their licenses. So they had different licenses, and they made an expansion into it.
So, I mean, let me go to the phone so you can get a caller in here. I really want to talk about the politics of this and where the power lives in this thing from your perspective that's coming up in the next 2 days, because we saw the power game played at the very end of the Senate, of the session in April, when out of the blue comes this bill that no one expected, that clearly was pushed by gaming interests, and Senator Miller, President Miller, wanted to get that out there, and he did. But so this is a game of power. You've seen Mike Bush kind of change his position a little bit and where he stands on this. Martin O'Malley is saying he wants it done and out of the way. Mr. Cordish is raising his billions and saying, I'm opposed to this. You're going to have to do it my way. So, I mean, I'm curious where you think the power lives here in an honest discussion and what we're going to end up with. But let me go to the phones first at 410-319-8888. Keith in Parkville, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mark. I'm really heated. For one reason I'm eating is because I hear the African-American delegates on it. I listened to Senator Muse today, who's totally against this because of the whole gambling platform. But what I don't understand from the delegates that are supporting this is that, you know, not because of the social ills that gambling is going to bring. What I want to know, and this is an old mafia term, what is going to be your end on this whole thing? Will there be full transparency to who is going to donate to your campaigns, to your coffers and everything like that. You got the MGM Grand coming to come to National Harbor. A mobbed up, I'll say it allegedly, a mobbed up organization that's coming to the National Harbor. I mean, you would just think for the decency of the people, for the people alone that's going to be there bringing in their college, their children's college funds and their rent. And you and the one senator said, the one delegate says, he worried about the money going to Anne Arundel County. When have you worried about the money going to Anne Arundel County?
If I could respond, Mark.
Greed on top of greed and all of these.
Keith, just in the interest of time, I appreciate what you're saying. You threw it out the way you believed it. Let me let Jay and Jolene both kind of take a stab at this. We'll take a break. Okay, Jay.
Sure. I would say this. First and foremost, it's about a vote, right? That was the first thing I came out here saying. If the citizens of Prince George's County feel that they want this, and I believe it's my job to bring them the best facility possible,
Mark, I'd like to
respond. And I think that's what you have to start first and foremost. And if you represent Prince George's County, the call the people have been for years, why do we have to go to surrounding jurisdictions to do simple things like quality shopping? Because we're trying to build our business tax base here. So when you talk about betting it all on gaming, let's be honest. I've talked to people there. There's a three-pronged approach here. Gaming is one of them. I'm not denying that. Also, job creation, 5,000 jobs, 2,000 permanent jobs. And the third point is entertainment, shopping, dining, residential, those type of values there. I go to Las Vegas. If I go to Las Vegas to go watch a boxing match, I'm only going to spend about an hour within the casino at most. Most of the time, I'm there touring the place, shopping, finding something for my wife, taking kids around to the parks and doing golf of that nature. So to sit there and say it's all banked on only gaming. If you don't want to gamble, you don't have to go there.
We have to take a short break. We need to take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to let Jolene, since she also talked, from Prince George's County, to have her say in this, and then we'll kind of switch gears and talk about the politics of this and what we think is going to happen over the next 2, 3, 4 days, however long the session's going to last. Stay with us. We're here with a number of our representatives from Prince George's County, Anne Arundel County and Baltimore City, 410-319-8888. We'll be back in just a minute. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. We're going to continue this conversation with our senator, one of our senators, and five of our delegates. Senator Ed Riley, Republican from the 33rd District in Anne Arundel County, is with us. Delegate Ron George, Republican from the 30th, also in Anne Arundel County. Delegate Sean Turan from the 40th here in Baltimore City, where we are broadcasting from. Delegate Jay Walker from District 26 in Prince George's County, and Delegate Jolene Ivey from the 47th District in Prince George's County. And Jolene, before I switch gears on y'all, respond also to our last caller.
Yeah, I'd really like to, because one thing that he seemed to be very passionate about is the appearance of any kind of wrongdoing. And I completely agree with him. You don't want anything to happen that looks like votes are being bought or controlled. And I believe that when it comes to MGM, which is a company that's been widely circulated as being the most likely to be one running the Prince George's facility, they're not making donations to political campaigns before this vote. They've made it a policy because they want to make sure the optics are good. Now, the governor's proposal says that he does not want to allow any of these gaming industries to make any kind of political donations even after the vote. It's kind of a weird thing to me in a way, frankly, just because, should the teachers not donate to us either because we vote on things that affect teachers? I mean, when you get to that point, I think it's getting pretty picky. But and in any event, MGM has definitely not been making political campaign donations, and I don't think that the caller was right. I think that he was just misinformed.
Go ahead, Jolene. You were trying to say something else?
No, go ahead.
So there's several pieces of this I want to talk about. One has to do with and how you all feel about this, and Sean and I were talking a bit about this during the break, that there's going to be a commission set up, a gaming commission, expanding the lottery commission, that as it did with the PSC back in 1999 when the BG&E was deregulated, that many people opposed and saw it was a mistake. But anyway, it happened. That power is now going to be – powers to oversee this will be taken away from our elected officials and put into a commission. So is this, from your perspective, I'll let you start, Jolene, a good or a bad thing?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, I guess it depends on who the governor is and how you feel about that governor.
Exactly.
Because it certainly gives more power to that governor. So, you know, it's something to consider. It might be a better idea to let the power be more spread out and shared.
So, Sean, is the politics of this that you can that can come out of the bill? Is that stay in the bill? And what, I'm curious what the other fellow delegates and senator think.
Well, the thing is, I'm going to actually defer that question to Delegate Ron George because he's on Ways and Means, and right now, and also Delegate Walker. I mean, they handle this
I'm
legislation.
On Ways and Means,
Delegate Ivy, you already spoke.
Thank
we can't you. Give you everything. We love you, but we can't give you everything, sugar. So the thing is, I know that I don't like to give up any power as far as, you know, you have decisions that, you know, your constituents want you to do certain things and to give it up to a commission where you really don't have any influence with. I mean, they're just there pretty much appointed by the governor. So I'd really like to defer to the two of them, you know, let them weigh in.
Delegate George, why don't you start?
Okay. Well, I think Sean makes an excellent point. I feel that the bill itself, and I've been reading it, I've been studying it, at least the draft of the bill that we have so far, and is this commission going to have powers in it that can change things that no longer means that it needs to go to a referendum, or we're changing the Constitution, or we're going to give the commission the power to make certain decisions, and we need to define those better than they are defined within the bill. I don't think it's a good idea. I think it's good to have the debate in the legislature and let us, fight it out and try to figure out better ways. And by the way, the last caller was right on target. You know, we can never forget what the effect is on the local people. Gaming itself is false hope for a lot of people. It does have an effect on the community. And I didn't mean to imply that my only concern is money for Anne Arundel County. First and foremost, it does change the political landscape, especially if they're allowed to give donations. Then you'll just... it doesn't matter if you're liberal or conservative or Democrat or Republican, as long as you're for the expansion of gaming, money will find its way for you to you. And that's what we want to avoid, and I think we need to secure that up in the bill also.
So, Delegate Walker.
I mean, on that one there, I can understand why you would do it. I mean, we deal with so many topics up there. I mean, just in Ways and Means, we've got our six committees and we're dealing with tax and everything. And I think we need to hope that there is going to be specifically the gaming and also make recommendations to us. They make the recommendations, and as a legislative body, we can act or not act. So I don't have a problem with that.
So let me go back to the phones, get listeners back in this at 410-319-8888. And, Chris, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Chris. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm just a citizen, a Joe, you know, regular guy. And I tend to it's hard for me to get past the beginning of the story and how we have a governor as a representative. Because there's no kings or princes in America as a representative who was so against, and I'm neither for or against gaming, but I'm stuck on the fact he was so against it when Ehrlich was for it, and now it seems like he's not only for it, he'll put a table anywhere there's space. So I'm just trying to figure out, as a representative, if he can switch that, if his pendulum can swing that extremely, how can I trust him to represent me in what I need as a citizen in the state of Maryland?
That's a great question, this pendulum swinging and how that happens. And let me turn first to one of our Republican representatives and go back to the Democratic side of the aisle here for a moment. Ed Riley, you want to take a shot at that first?
Oh, absolutely. You have to understand that it's not just the governor. Speaker Bush was very much against gaming. That's why he put it on as a referendum to the Constitution, issued to the Constitution, so that the public would have an opportunity to weigh in on these things. Politicians change their views on a regular basis, believe me, I know. But here's another interesting question that I'm sure the caller was alluding to. Peter Franchot, the comptroller of the state of Maryland, sent out a letter to all of us legislators, and he asked the question, why are we convening a special session to buttress this industry when we have a whole lot of other things that are just as important, seafood harvesting, agriculture, manufacturing, defense, their businesses are growing very slowly and fragilely, and yet we're trying to enrich a out-of-state gaming group when, in fact, shouldn't we be looking at a true jobs bill with long-term, high-income, high-quality education needs in our state? Shouldn't this special session be about a true jobs approach as opposed to a gaming approach? And the other thing that Franchot did say in his letter is that as a voluntary gesture, it would send a powerful message that we disclose contributions from gambling interests. I'm interested in knowing what my peers say about that, because I think it's a very fine idea.
Well, let me turn to one of the people across the aisle here, the Democratic side of the aisle, and go to Sean Tarrant, who's here with us in the studio. How would you respond to the caller, Chris, who may be one of your constituents?
Right. And so when Governor Martin O'Malley made that statement as a mayor that it was a bad decision to go into gaming, that, you know, the state should not be in gaming. He was a mayor, and he was thinking about Baltimore City. He's thinking about maybe Baltimore City's addiction problems and things like that. And as a governor, you have to work with other leaders. I mean, there is Speaker Bush, there is Senate President Mike Miller and himself. And so one of the three definitely is for gaming, and President Miller. And you've got to make changes, as well as the governor's looking at, you can't continue to keep raising taxes. You have all this money leaving the state of Maryland, as Delegate Walker has said earlier in the show. And so how do we keep that money in the state of Maryland? I mean, and we do love horse raising. I mean, we want to keep the Preakness. And so some of that money goes to the horse breeders. And so by us having gaming in Maryland, we do keep some existing beloved industries and business as far as when it comes to horse racing. And we also are able to defer raising taxes because it's all disposable income. I had a great conversation with one of the potential bidders in Baltimore, and he felt like people spend an average of about $64 when they go out and play the slots. And these are individuals that are anywhere between ages of maybe 40 to 65 years old. And so that's their disposable income. It's the same amount of money somebody would spend at an Orioles game, you know, having dinner or going to a show. So it's just a form of entertainment. And I think that we need to realize that in gaming, that it's a form of entertainment that people like to do. Not everybody ends up being addicted to gambling. And the lottery also does have a special fund set up for those who do become addicted. And we hope it doesn't happen, but we've taken the right steps to make sure that people can get counseling and treatment for addiction if that happens.
Well, let me ask all of you this one thing, two more questions here. And in this vote that's going to be taking place, I mean, we're guessing this session is going to last, what, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days?
This bill is 56 pages. I wouldn't even put a number out there.
But, I mean, they threw this thing out in the Senate the very last second and pushed that through fairly quickly. So, I mean, I wonder what you think is going to happen here. I may start with the Prince George's County delegation, Jolene, then over to Jay. I mean, what you think will be the outcome here? I mean, your own delegation, like many other delegations, is split on this issue.
Prince George's might be split, but it's a very uneven split.
What do you mean?
The majority of our delegates and senators support the bill, and two-thirds of our county council. So, of course, there are a few bills that you get 100% votes for, and especially anything the least bit controversial. It's not a surprise that everybody doesn't agree. There's going to be some people who give a lot more credibility to certain segments of their district than others. I know that in my district, when I've been going to the Civic Association meetings the last couple of months, the people have been very concerned about money for Prince George's County, and they know themselves that they are the ones getting on the buses going to Delaware or Anne Arundel County to gamble, and they know that they want to keep that money right here in Prince George's County. So that's what I'm hearing from my residents and I'm very good about going around and meeting with people. Very few people have been against it, so I feel pretty comfortable that I am representing my constituents. And when he talks about Chris, the caller, talked about disclosing No, he talks about, someone talked about, Peter Franchot saying that we need to disclose donations. Well,
right.
We do disclose our donations. We have a regular schedule that we disclose our donations. There are no secrets about who gives us money. And we have two more years before the next election. There will be many, many times more that people can look at your financial disclosure and figure out whether or not they should support you based on that. So I don't think there's any magic time to do it now. To me, it's just more work and unnecessary work.
So,
I've already been very open that I support this, so it's not like my constituents don't already know. So I don't really understand what the controller was, why he was asking us to do that.
Because he's running for governor. But
But whatever.
I'm sorry. That wasn't fair. But Jay Walker.
Well, just a minute. One more thing before you go from me. When you start talking about the lottery, Prince George's County is like number one in spending money on lottery tickets. We are not number one in getting money from the lottery. So I just want to make sure that this time Prince George's County benefits. We have a lot of needs for our schools, for public safety, for all kinds of things. And I want to make sure that our residents get good jobs out of this and that our residents benefit from the money that could help us in so many ways.
So very quickly, we're running out of time here. I want to get back to other delegates. We only have about 5 minutes left. Delegate Walker, I mean, what do you think is going to happen? You think that this will go to a referendum? Are you going to pass that part?
Oh, I think, you know, what's going to happen is similar to 2007. The people seem to forget. We passed the slots legislation during a special session. So this is not something brand new, reinventing the wheel. Slots legislation was passed during a special session. I think that we're going here for a special session, focusing on this issue. We're going to work hard at it. And then at the end of the day, I hope that the people decide, the rest of my colleagues decide, to allow the citizens of Maryland to cast their vote.
And it's going to be a very complex referendum because it's a statewide referendum. But if it pass, if this goes to ballot, Sean, it's a statewide referendum, but the votes that are counted in Prince George's County will determine whether or not there will be a casino in Prince George's County, correct?
Correct. And so if Prince George's County decides to vote against, and I will say it's not likely they'll vote against because in 2007, 61% of Prince George's County residents voted for the 2007 referendum. So they have a history, and they will use that to say, you love me in 2007, love me again in 2012. And so that's there. So they have a precedence. And I will say that if they decide not to, Delegate Walker and Delegate Ivy, if they decide not to vote for it, because there's going to be a lot of interests out there trying to get them not to vote for it, Baltimore City and Arundel and the other locations still get table games. So if somebody decides to get cute, we still get our table games. How you like me now?
So Delegate Ron George and Senator Riley, very quickly, since that the minority party, some people talked about not showing up and boycotting the session, what role do you think the party is going to play and your delegate is going to play in this process?
Well, I think one thing that I can do is just try to look at the holes in the bill and help people understand whether it's going to work or not going to work. They can decide to do what's needed to either make it a better bill or a stronger bill. But also, I'm still not convinced that expanding gaming is the way to go in this state. We seem to be going that direction. And so, you know, there's a lot to be said on that end also. And I think that it's good that we have this process. We've got a great committee. Everyone's heard. Everyone respects each other. And same thing on the House floor. And we'll just go forward. And I think we really need to scrutinize this and understand what it is that we are doing.
Senator Riley, you want to have a final thought on that as well?
Absolutely. In the regular session, there was a bill on the floor, Doug Peters' bill, that passed with 9 Republican votes, 3 against. Those were the 3 Anne Arundel County senators. But this is not the same bill. I would not count on any of these votes being cast quickly or casually. This is a very complex bill with a lot of moving parts, and it could come down to a very close vote in the Senate, and probably a whole lot of amendments on both sides of the aisle.
Yep.
So there's a lot of negotiating ahead of us, and we will be covering this again tomorrow and be covering it all during the session with our delegates and senators. And I do want to thank everybody who joined us here, Senator Ed Riley, from Anne Arundel County, our two delegates who joined us from Prince George's County, Jolene Ivey and Jay Walker, Delegate Ron George from Anne Arundel County as well, and, of course, Delegate Sean Tarrant here from Baltimore City, who will be broadcast from all over the state of Maryland. So a lot of our Prince George's County listeners are listening to this as well. And I want to thank you all for joining us today, and we'll come back and continue this coverage.
Thank you, Mark. Thank
you, not Mark. Often you get thank a Howard guy to take the airways in Morgan State. Just want to let you know that.
Thank you, Jay Walker. All right, we are going to take a 30-second break and come right back and be joined by Dr. Freeman Hrabowski, who has just been named by President Barack Obama as chairman of the newly created Advisory Commission on Educational Excellence for African Americans, and of course named one of by Time Magazine one of the 100 most influential people on the planet. Stay with us. We'll be right back.